A little bit of sunshine here this morning to start things off on a Monday morning. And that means that Phil Lynch is joining us. He's all bright and sunny here this morning.
Whee! Woo!
Well, did you notice that bright thing yesterday? Did your eyes hurt at all?
The big yellow thing?
It was so bright yesterday afternoon. I actually commented. It was like, man, this isn't normal at all. We had sunshine, but that was just... It's getting brighter.
Michigan in the wintertime tends to be a little slate gray.
Late winter, yeah. Late winter, the sun starts to come out. So that's where you get excited then about spring, I think, a little bit. So you know what's in the forecast for today, right?
I do not.
Well, it's going to be sunshine. We'll talk about it.
Hmm.
It might be cold today, but it is going to be sunny with a high near 34. We are expecting mostly clear skies yet tonight with a low around 19. And then tomorrow, sunshine. Why not? A high near 38. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low around 26. And then Wednesday, partly sunny, a high near 41. So that's kind of the outlook for the week. We're expecting 43 on Thursday with a high. And then a high near 27 on Friday. But back up again to 41 on Sunday. So kind of a roller coaster up and down here as far as temperatures are concerned.
Right.
Menominee's at 19, Marquette 18, Iron Mountain 12, and in Escanaba, we have 15 degrees.
Yeah, I thought it would be chilly. We had frost on the van, had to scrape. Haven't had to do that in a while. But, you know, when it's clear, then, of course, it gets colder. There's no blanket of cloud to keep the heat in. So, you know.
I had a little bit of frost on my windshield this morning, too, and I opted not to scrape.
Do you roll the windows down to see if the automatic windows, will those get rid
will
of the
they
frost?
Clear it?
Yeah, that's
not the frost, but snow I've certainly done
frost,
that.
Frost I tried. Then I just roll the windows down. So I'll be driving through Escanaba at like 5:52 in the morning with the windows down. But you can see, so
yeah.
I care about my fellow drivers.
Well, there's nobody on the road when I'm out there in that time of morning.
You're way early. Yeah. What time? Three in the morning?
It's about quarter to four when I pull
in
here.
Okay.
I'm up at three.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's okay. That's okay. I made it into work just fine. But just do be careful. Make sure you get a little extra time to go out and scrape here this morning.
And may I say for our listeners who don't have color radio at home, Craig's sweater today, it is so colorful. It kind of reminds me of the Cosby Show. You have some
it's
rose.
It's probably from that era.
Gray blue, medium blue, and a rose on the back. There. Oh, the whole back is rose with kind of darker blue
purple
sleeves. Yeah, purplish periwinkle. I learned that from my Crayola box.
Ooh. Yeah. Isn't it neat to name all those colors? You've got to wonder who names those colors.
Yeah, we never would have known periwinkle.
Like burnt brown or burnt orange.
Oh, they had all those different, like sienna, umber. I think if you're an artist, you know those. Those are like paint box colors. So, yeah. And the sun will be up today painting our dawn with her rosy fingers, and we'll see many beautiful colors this morning.
All right, I got to do this here. Got to explore colors. What are the names? Oh, they don't tell me the names. They just put a whole bunch in there.
Well, now it's by hex codes. When you're doing, internet design, you have to know the exact six numbers and letters in order.
If you're like this one, manatee.
Manatee.
Yeah, that's kind of a blue. It says hue family, blue.
Yeah.
So, and then if you go like to this one here, that one is, well, that one's green. Never mind.
So, yeah, just green.
Indigo, that's a good blue color.
People even invent and...
Jazzberry jam.
They patent name, they trademark names for colors and even patent colors.
I think jazzberry jam is my new favorite color.
Okay, good for you.
Light brown, that's basic. Orange circuit. Huh, what's this one? Plum, yep, okay. Come on. Orchid with twinkling turquoise. You get a crayon with that? You get a two-tone crayon? Do they have two-tone crayons now?
Yeah, they've had those.
Really? Well, I can't say it's been a long time since I've done any
crayon,
coloring.
All sorts of crayons.
Okay. This is fun. Eggplant. I remember eggplant crayons.
Like purplish?
It is kind of a brownish purple, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Lilac, that's basic.
Now, this will surprise you. When I do website design
or
my email, I went to the University of Michigan. They have official colors, and I use their exact hex numbers
exact
for
numbers.
Their blue and their maize.
Yeah. Well, when I've done website design, there's websites that will help you combine colors.
Oh, palettes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
There are palettes
so
change
that.
From year to year. You can go to like the hot palettes of 2024 and see what's new. And
mm-hmm. And I did one over the weekend. By the way, this one's periwinkle.
Yes.
You know that color?
Yeah, that's the, I think those are your sleeves are periwinkle.
Oh, okay.
A grayish blue purple. With some purple in it, yeah.
Yeah. So I was on surfing the web over the weekend, and I came across Keweenaw. And exactly what you're talking about, it was the colors that enticed me more than anything because they were so unusual. All right, I got it right here, okay? So you can see the yellow that's up at the top there, and then you get down into these greens and the browns. It was very earthy, which okay. is Keweenaw. I mean, it tells you what the Keweenaw is all about.
Sure.
I just was enthralled. As a designer.
Professionals.
As a designer, yeah. the little things kind of jump out at you.
Sure.
Most people, that's kind of like watching a movie. Patty always hates watching movies with me because I'll critique the angles of the camera.
Great, yeah.
Or the editing or stuff like that.
I can't listen to music. So often during the day, I just have silence on any music. I've said to Jane, I'm sorry. You know, something will come on and I'm dissecting what instruments are too loud, too soft, what, you know, what's sharp, why uh-huh. why did they do that? Oh, that's, oh, those vocals are really good there. And then I take a wonderful ride over to Bay West with Scott Breaux, who's
It's not Bay West anymore. They officially
right,
changed
yes,
the name.
There's one Bay. It's Bay Iron Mountain Campus.
Correct.
And Scott Breaux is on the production side. He does recording and jingles. And the two of us listening to these amazingly produced pop symphonies that do scripture memory, they're just insane. This guy plays all the instruments, but... You know, oh, well, his backing vocals, his consonants were not together. Like, oh, yeah, well, that would never stand up today. And it was, yeah. So I hear you. So you critique. I've been very thankful that I don't know much about movies. I don't know anything about art, you know, painting art. I can just mm-hmm. go to a museum and, like, appreciate it and, like, wow, that's really cool looking. Whereas, you know, an artist would be critiquing the brush stroke or the use of light and dark or that figure in the background is a bit too large, so... Everybody's got their thing, you know. People who are great fishermen, you know, are critiquing
look
lake
at
levels.
Composition.
Okay.
And light, of course, yeah. when you deal with photography.
Okay.
And I learned it mostly just by looking at other photos and how other people did it.
Yep.
So you can learn the simple way sometimes okay. like that. Okay. But you're right. I mean, somebody that knows fishing will know that stuff in and out.
Can't
I can
look
watch
at the bay
another
and like,
fisherman.
Oh, there's some waves on the bay, and they'll know everything about those particular waves and what that means, and the perch are down lower, and the walleye are moving south for the yeah. Everybody's got their thing.
Well, you taught, was it social studies?
Yes.
Okay, so you obviously knew a lot about that stuff too, right?
Unfortunately.
Yeah, and so you deal with current events. Was your last class that you had before retiring? Wasn't?
Nope.
Okay. What'd you have?
For half my career was civics and economics.
Yeah.
And then psychology. I taught that my whole career.
So what did you do that was always current events?
There was always current events that you could use to teach.
I mean, teach it.
Anything
okay.
happening, of anything pertains to economics, you know, trade,
mm-hmm.
and then civics. It's the gift that keeps on giving. I'm so glad I'm not teaching that.
That's what I mean. It changes. And so you have to have, you kind of get to know after a while what you're looking at and doing all the time. Okay.
Yep.
Hey, what's on the turntable this morning?
We have miscellaneous from Negaunee there.
Negaunee?
So my granddaughter's great-grandpa on the other side, he just sent some records down.
They're
my
dumping records off on you?
Records find me. Oh, it's true. All the time.
Uh-huh.
And so here's one of the absolute cornerstones of the folk revival of the late 50s. My wife is a big fan of these guys, the Kingston Trio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they might have been like the biggest group in that revival with a tune that she picked called Molly D.
Here's Molly D then this morning on WDBC on our turntable. It's deep inside the vinyl vault of Phil Lynch.
She's the girl who waits for me. She's the girl who's for me.
Here we go again.
Here we go again.
That's the Kingston Trio.
The name of their
Molly
album.
D.
They couldn't think of anything better than the name Here We Go Again. And Here We Go Again in the studio, they just hit that chord near the end, and Phil goes, oh, nice chord.
I know. Yeah. I heard you do that. I was
thinking
that.
It is a nice chord. It's, I think it was a minor.
Critiquing the music again.
I think it was a 5 minor 7, but I'd have to mess with that a little. Hear it again, played on the piano.
They're late 50s, is that? And
late,
they changed too, right? I mean,
late 50s,
wasn't,
early 60s.
Which group did... John Denver belonged to?
Chad Mitchell Trio.
Chad Mitchell.
And Chad Mitchell left, so they just became the Mitchell Trio. I kid you not.
That's right.
And okay. He might have even been the one who took over for Chad
Mitchell. Everybody had a trio at the end of their name in the late 50s?
You know, those are the only...
The only
I'm not a big folk
know?
Person. We're not going to try to kid anybody. Kingston Trio, Peter, Paul, and Mary were a trio.
That's true.
That's
they
all
didn't
you
put
need.
Trio
have,
in their
if
name.
If you have three, now you're not a duo. Now you're a group, so you get the right people. Although... You know who were really good? The Smothers Brothers. We remember them for their comedy.
Yeah.
They were fine together, and they were just a duo, obviously.
I got to see them on Broadway.
Wow.
When I was in high school.
Gee.
Our class trip took us to New York, and we got to pick a play to go see, and I picked the Smothers Brothers. I Love My Wife. Obviously not a big hit.
Was it a play with like a story? No kidding.
And it was really good. I enjoyed it a lot.
They were huge.
We're kind of right up front and got to see them see them perform after seeing them on TV, of course.
They had their TV show for...
Which was canceled.
Short-lived because they were too political at the time, right? Yeah.
And
that was how it went.
You also did a program last Monday. How did that go?
Oh, we did Monday and Tuesday because we were off air.
That's
talking
you were on the other program.
The two campuses. We have one Bay, Bay du Nord Community College. So there's the Escanaba campus.
So I know you had at least three people at Escanaba because my mom went, Patty went, and Dave Schaff went.
Both, you know, and I'm not tooting my own horn. Bay did such a nice job. I think we had about 40-something people at that one. And really engaged and interesting. I met a man there who lives now in Escanaba, Tom Sandblom, who not only knew Louis, the band actually stayed at his house.
Here in the UP?
Evanston, Illinois.
Oh, okay.
And they were friends with Louis' drummer, who was from Evanston. So this man's sister was friends with that man's daughter. And the moms became very, very good friends. And he would hang out in Louis' drummer's drum cases as a little boy. And the trombonist, Trummy Young, couch surfed at his house once. And he said, just from firsthand knowledge, everything you said, Phil, it was true. Louis was such a nice guy. He'd come in and he'd ruffle the kid's head and go, Tommy, how are you doing? And he said, everything you've heard is true. He would listen to every word you said and was just a really loving man. So that was great to...
get the reinforcement
to meet somebody who really like knew him. We know people like your mom saw him in person, saw Louis
up in Houghton,
at the D, right? And this guy hung out with him as a kid, and then we went to it's hard not to say Bay West, that's what we've been calling it for years, the Iron Mountain campus. Mm-hmm. That's a new emphasis of the new president of Bay, that it's one Bay.
Well, that was part of the listening tour that she had. That was the message. It wasn't her initiative. That was what she was being told.
Great. Okay.
And the hospitals do that. It's, UP Health System Marquette, UP Health System Portage, UP Health System Bell. So this is Bay College Iron Mountain, Bay College Escanaba.
Down in Wisconsin, they're called, the system is now the Universities of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have the real one in Madison and all these little ancillaries. They're all part of one system. The universities, and same thing with Bay, instead of having there's the real Bay and then the little brother, they're two different campuses. And it's you've been in the Bay, the Iron Mountain facility?
Once, because
it's gorgeous. I mean, it's state of the art, and you go down into this commons with these huge windows overlooking the woods, and really, really nice.
Bay College Escanaba has certainly changed over the years.
Mm-hmm.
I went on the tour with Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist on Friday or Thursday when he was here in, you don't realize how nice like the hub has turned out and how good that is and how modern it is, kind of like Northern with their sitting areas and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They've done a really good job.
I'm really honored and blessed since retiring from public education. I've been doing more with Bay in varying different capacities. So I always feel like it's the big time. You go in the big main lobby and there's that sculpture made out of little tiny tiles hanging from the ceiling.
Still there. Nobody bothers it.
Yeah. Over the years, they had lost a couple of those squares, but they replaced them.
Well, that's good.
Because being a little bit on the OCD side, that would always bother me. You have this amazing hanging, it's like a big, huge mobile of these little tiles. And the art right now, it's really cool. I don't know how to describe it. When you go in, if you go into the main lobby, I'm looking at Craig, but anybody listening, just take a trip over to Bay. And the whole thing is like an art gallery if you go in the very main entrance.
Well, you go down the hallways and you have art on all the hallways.
You have the Addison collection.
And then you've got the, that's true. And then you've got the... which is amazing stuff. You have the gallery as well by the president's office.
Yeah,
there.
You go down
through the
administration.
When I was waiting for the lieutenant governor, I went through it, and it was all self-portrait day.
Take a selfie?
Students, no.
Take a selfie with a portrait behind you.
They did artwork of themselves, so that was kind of neat.
Yeah.
And some photography as well. So it's always a good thing to go through. It's a small little gallery, but they do a good job showing off the students' work. We're hanging out this morning with Phil Lynch on WDBC. A little bit blue this morning. Song Song Blue. That's Neil Diamond on WDBC.
But he sounds so happy.
I know.
I know. Crazy.
What's up with that, right?
That Neil Diamond, maybe he'll do okay. I don't know. We'll see. that boy might do all right for himself.
Yeah, that song is from 1974. So.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was only 50 years ago, Craig.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, it's been that long. You were a freshman in high school in 74.
Yes, actually.
Okay. I finally memorized 78 as your date, because I would ask. I had you pegged a little earlier for like the early 70s.
But no, I graduated in 79.
Oh, dang. Okay, so 74 you
yeah,
were
74,
starting.
I started as a freshman, okay. Yeah. I've been going, of course, through my negatives a little bit that have been drying out from the flooded of the building.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's been kind of interesting, fun. Maybe it's not the right word, but going through and seeing
that's fun.
You know, different things from high school from the 70s. Again,
not to be Pollyanna, you wouldn't be doing this were it not for the fire. You know,
I thought of that actually.
You to go through that, right?
But it's been something I've been wanting to do. I haven't digitized anything yet. I'm still laying stuff out, but I want to get to that point. I want to be able to go through them and show those. Show
these are
some
all
of those
negatives.
Off. They're all black and white negatives.
Oh, cool!
Because I obviously processed them myself, and then some of it from when I worked at the Delta Reporter then as well. So it was kind of fun. You have the Kingston Trio still on our turntable here this morning because Jane has a request.
She had a request. My dear wife wanted to hear. We won't say what I thought she said. The song is called Goober Peas. I heard a different word when she first spoke that. Something to do with your nose and bodily functions. I wasn't really listening well. So anyway, I think Goober
Peas. You couldn't find it on this album,
exactly.
Right?
I'm like, where's it? Oh, Goober. Got it. And I think those are chickpeas, are they not? Garbanzo beans? I think so.
Okay.
But our research department will disabuse me of that notion if I'm wrong, I'm sure, any moment now. But it's the Kingston Trio, they were the kingpins of that whole folk revival. And whatever Goober Peas are, they'd like to sing about them for us.
How could you possibly go wrong,
I don't know,
with a song title like that, right?
I think there are many pathways to wrong. Goober Peas.
I'm saying deep inside the vinyl vault of Phil Lynch, but you just got these.
Yeah, these come
so
from
it's Al, right on top.
Al Sonny of Negaunee was the our dear gentleman friend who donated these from Negaunee up there. And maybe we're reaching there. Maybe the ionosphere is getting us up there today.
It's the Kingston Trio on WDBC.
Yeah.
We'll kiss our wives and sweethearts, and then we'll gobble goober peas.
nice sixth chord there at the end.
Well, now we know what goober peas are, right?
They are boiled peanuts because people in the South were starving in the Civil War, and they would eat these. Boil their peanuts and kind of eat them as mush.
Well, now we get that in Asian food.
Not peanuts.
But you put in cashews or peanuts into...
I don't think they boil them first, but I could be wrong.
Oh, they're nice and soft. They actually taste good that way.
Often wrong.
But obviously, that must have been a thing back in those days.
It kept the South alive. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That was not a song about the Confederacy. We do not play anything about the South here on the radio. Please let us stay on the air. But it existed, it is true, and that was a song they sang. It dates all the way back from the Civil War, that song itself, and they ate them. I love it. Towards the end, the Kingston Trio speaks, and they even talk in their little hushed voice.
Mm-hmm.
And we ate those goober peas, and that was just part of the dealio. The
song is long enough.
The song is long enough, and they all had, you know, sometimes they sing out loudly, but they have a little bit of hush to their voice, and that's such fun music, and music goes off in trends and fads, and that was the fad, late 50s, early 60s.
It's storytelling.
Yeah, so many of them are, you know. What's the one about the Boston, the MTA, the guy who just rides round and round and round on the subway and just never gets off? And yeah, a lot of story songs. And, you know, our culture is so infantilized. Every song now is, "Oh, baby, I love you," right? Or, "Oh, baby, I want you." And songs used to be about, you know, stories like eating goober peas or murder or revenge or the harvest, and songs have been about so much more than "Ooh, baby, I want you." Like Song Sung Blue. Now there's a song.
I don't even know what that's
about.
What
is it about?
I
it's
have
about
no
a song
clue.
That is sung blue in a happy key, happy vibe.
I was trying to think of a story, and the Edmund Fitzgerald singing came to mind.
Right.
You know, sure. That one. But are there other story songs? You have to do some of those when you write your songs. You have to tell. Well, you did the UFO song.
Yes, that, told a that story. In fact is a story.
Yeah.
It has our sheriff, Ed Oswald, in it, has Tia Trudgeon, has, you know, cameo appearances, by God. I should put you in there, write a new verse.
Yeah, I looked up and saw what. We're going to have to play that one. We're going to play the UFO song here okay. later this morning, okay?
All right. It's All been right. over a year now.
Has it really?
Mm-hmm.
You texted me over the weekend and said you had a...
Oh, yeah, for sports news. We were going to save that for curling. Oh, there are curling, some big curling stories this year. So it's curling season. We're in the Scotties. That's the women's national in Canada. Right before, this is a week and a half long tournament where they each province sends a team or maybe a couple. The greatest of all time. This is like their Tom Brady, Jennifer Jones, 6-time national championship, 2-time world champion, 1-time gold medal Olympian. She announced her retirement. This is her last.
Oh my.
Scotties. I mean, it's like Tom Brady retiring. That's huge. Some big stories. A rookie team from the province that they're from. They're in Calgary, Alberta, and they're undefeated. Rookie team, the leader of the team, the skip, has never been to the Scotties. So they're taking it by storm. They even beat Team Canada. The 4-time repeating world championships got beaten by the home crowd team. That was a huge thing last night.
That should have been exciting for the audience.
That was a big deal. And yes, you can. One thing, sometimes people mock curling. Because of the speed.
Why would you mock curling?
Oh, people are dumb. And
why would you mock curling?
They think it's...
What's more fun than throwing some rocks down the ice?
50 yards down the ice, a 42-pound stone, and getting it to land exactly where you want it to.
It takes talent.
Ridiculously hard.
Takes ability.
There's a drug scandal.
What?
They've actually had doping scandals in the Olympics. The Russian curlers were disqualified. It takes a lot of musculature to haul...
Walk on ice?
And they're crouching down. They push off, and then they let go of this 42-pound stone. But there was a woman for Team Canada, the 4-time repeating, and she was disqualified right before, and they won't say for what. Nobody is talking. Even the announcers, it's like...
A scandal.
They don't want to ruffle the feathers.
In the curling industry.
And it came from the... Curling Canada, the overarching organization, said, we have been informed that she's ineligible. So that sounds like it's coming from the World Doping Agency. But there's a lot of over-the-counter things. Even like Sudafed will make you test a positive for drugs. So they're not saying anything very likely because she gets a second chance.
Calumet has a great curling facility.
Okay.
They put it in one of those older buildings up there, it is really cool. Why isn't curling more popular in the UP? I just... find that mind-boggling. I would think that would be a UP sport right up there with sled dog racing.
You know, and you don't have to be great at it. It's like the national pastime in Canada. They do it in outdoor rinks, and there's a lot of fun involved. They have the Bonspiel, which means good time. So after it, you might go to a bar or you hang out right at the rink and just sit around and talk. They have this honor thing, too. If one team gets too far in advance, like if a team's up by... you know, 5 or 6 towards the end of the game, the losing team just goes, all right, they shake hands. You know, what's the point of dragging? It's kind of sort of like the mercy rule, but you mercy yourselves out. I guess if you're going to have a good time afterwards, you get there a little early. But yeah, so it's the Canadian National Tournament women's called the Scotties this week. And no big drama as far as the standings other than that hometown team.
Yeah.
It's like when you don't have anything, there's no pressure on them really. They're not trying to win for the 5th time in a row like Team Canada is, or with Jennifer Jones, the GOAT, the greatest of all time, retiring.
You were able to watch this on TV?
Well, the stars aligned, and Canada's version of ESPN, they're on YouTube this year, on the YouTube channel, just the normal YouTube. ESPN did not carry them last year.
Oh, man.
It was bleak, and there was a huge outcry. And it's basically free for ESPN. They just put it on ESPN3. You know, they have 90 different games going if you have Roku or streaming or that sort of thing. So, yeah, the winter, it's much more bearable in the mid-February times if you have curling to watch.
Well, we got our curling news in.
There it is. There's
Let's get
report.
The rest of the sports. It was senior night on Friday night for the boys' basketball.
Nice.
It's going to be again tomorrow night for girls, but we have some interviews with
Lovely.
The 5 who are graduating from Escanaba. That's coming up next in sports. The Escanaba Eskimos boys basketball team lost to Jeffers in overtime Friday night, 75-68. It was senior night, and Mike Beveridge talked with the seniors, Shane Wallen, Bryson Lankor, David Bromps, Jackson Kuzno, and Ben Johnson.
First one up, Shane, anything you'd like to say to Escanaba, because you're on the air and this is your final home game?
Well, it's been a ride, man. I love my teammates. I mean, we've had such a chemistry. Anything against it, I mean, this loss is we're going to be the 2 seed anyway. So, but this is just a tough loss. But we're always just a team. We always just have like all these memories that we've been playing since we're little kids.
So. I remember you in sixth grade shooting on the playground at the U. And Bryson, congratulations on a great senior year so far. You got a couple more games to go. Any thoughts that you want to share with us?
I just want to say it's a great program, great 4 years, and these last 2 years for varsity has been amazing. The team chemistry has been really good. So far, my 2 greatest years of basketball, I think, just best team chemistry.
David, nice job tonight. I know they put a lot of pressure on that full court press on you guys, but you guys handled it. Any thoughts that you'd like to share?
Thank you. I just want to say I wouldn't want to be part of any other program. I've loved every year of Escanaba basketball, and I love it here. I love my teammates, I love my coaches, I love it all. I love the atmosphere and the culture.
Awesome. Part of it. Jackson, nice job tonight. I think you ended up with 9 or 10?
Yep, 9.
9 points tonight. Nice job. You came in, handled that pressure real well, too, and I noticed that. Coach Hanson putting you in at the end for your defensive quickness and stuff. So nice job, and it has been a joy watching you grow. And anything you'd like to say?
Comes really fast. I mean, everyone says that, and you never believe them until, you know, you're put in that position.
And we'll talk to Ben Johnson. Any thoughts on your winding down?
Just really thankful to, you know, be a part of this team. We've been playing together since second grade, so it's sad to see it come to an end, but like David said, I wouldn't rather do it with any other group of guys. You know, we're really gritty, and you got to keep it going here.
At home, at work, and in your car, the best music is always on. 94.5 FM and AM 680. Always refreshing and relaxing. WDBC. UFO.
My wife and I went walking on a bright midwinter day. Escanaba and the sunlight, well, it takes your breath away. And then she happened to look up and see it in the sky, a giant silver pasty, and it was 30 miles high. Holy hole, look at it glow, UFO. I dialed up the sheriff and he said, well, it ain't ours. I said, it's really there, Ed. We ain't been to any bars. So I called up TV6. I thought, well, they'll know what to do. They sent us Tia Trudgeon and her trusty camera crew. Holy hole, look at it glow, UFO. Then suddenly an F-16 appeared up in the blue. Cheese head up from Madison, but he knew what to do. He let off a sidewinder fresh from the Pentagon. A flash of light, a cloud of dust, and there it was, gone. Holy hole, look at it glow, UFO.
It's the Kingston Lynches or something like that.
That's scary. It's giving me chills. The UFO. Oh, my goodness. Silly.
See, that absolutely tells stories. Silly. And that's story to be told.
And that was one day I learned of that story here in this very studio that morning that we had a UFO fly over the UP. And timing is everything. You got to strike while the iron is hot. So got that up and out on the interwebs by later that day, by the late afternoon, I think.
Now, how do you, when you write a song like that, I mean, that's different than what you normally sing, to have that low voice, UFO. How do you decide that's what you're going to do?
Well, I wanted the stacked harmonies there. You know, I think that's about five-part harmony. And some
so
of
you
them,
cloned yourself five times?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You just, you record over and over and over. And because you have headphones on, so you can hear what you did. And you just record over yourself. And the Beatles had four tracks. We now have unlimited, infinite tracks.
I know.
You know, and they would record four tracks, and then it's called bouncing them. They'd squeeze those down into one track. So then that would free up three more. But limitations can really help you, actually. They force you to do things.
I did that when you used to have, before computers, when I did video editing, you had a deck here and a deck there, and you combined the two to get your video.
Sure.
When I did my brother's music video for one of his Warp Drive songs, I would combine those two tapes, combine two other tapes, and then combine those tapes together. And that took a lot of planning, let me tell you. To make sure that that came out.
Mind-boggling. Back in the
now that's an easy thing.
When they would record music to stereo tapes, quarter inch stereo tapes, and you know, even the best bands, they tried to do them in one take, but not always possible. And so, you know, it was the razor blade era, and the word splicing tape, they literally, these engineers, they, one of the reasons they'd be employed by the big labels was they were professional.
And splicers.
They would, I only just recently, they spliced them diagonally, so you don't hear
the
a
hard
splice
cut.
Go poop right across it. So I mean, it's a split second, so it comes in and your ears can't pick up on it. Usually, there are a few famous splice noises. The Beatles have one in, let me take you down, I'm going to Strawberry Fields, there's one there. Miles Davis, a couple of egregious ones, but they were doing what they could do back in 1959. We're doing what we can do here with our, you have a state-of-the-art system here.
Yes, state-of-the-art.
Got your iPad plugged in to play things off the internet. I mean, what a world. What a world. And the fact that I can, I mean, that's a silly song, and I wouldn't, that guitar that's just copy and pasted 490 times, ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding, you know, it's robotic. You would never do that in a real thing, but I had that time limitation. I wanted this thing up on that day, you know. If you put it, if it's a current event about a UP UFO and you put it up 2 weeks later, everybody's like, what? Oh, yeah, that thing happened, I guess. But
talk about changes.
Changes.
So when I worked with the Delta Reporter back in the early 80s, we used to put things into a computer and it would come out on a piece of plastic type paper.
Yeah.
And then you'd run it through a glue machine. So that it would have glue on the backside.
Yeah.
And then you'd cut it up with scissors and you'd lay it down on a piece of paper. And that's how you laid out the newspaper.
You composed the newspaper, right? And did you have like a light table that, with grids? I've seen pictures of that. So you get things all nice and straight.
Yeah. Well, your paper was gridded.
Huh.
So you already had that and you would try to keep it in lines. And then you went to computers, of course, doing the layout. So it's much different now today.
Yeah.
But it's still based on those same concepts. Same with photography. My darkroom. I have Photoshop in my computer, same concepts on how to do things.
Well, we literally call it cutting and pasting.
Yes, it was cutting
and pasting.
We
literally call it that. It was literally doing that. Paste up. That's another, you do a paste up job.
Yeah, so things do change, but still based on what you used to do.
Yeah.
Hanging out with Phil Lynch this morning on WDBC. We're going to be back with more. Find out what he's got on our turntable.
But I won't last a day without you.
Won't last a day without you.
I won't last a day without Phil Lynch.
Craig Warple, listen to those harmonies there.
Oh, she does a great job.
If anything says Carpenters, it's all those multi-track harmonies with suspensions and nice. Ah, sigh. Karen Carpenter.
Phil Lynch joining us here this morning on WDBC. Phil, this week on Wednesday, we're going to have a presentation on Bernie Schultz photos. Itchy Anzalone is the one that's going to do the presentation. He's done these before, and he's gone through and digitized the former Daily Press photographer from the 50s and 60s, some of the images. And you can see the one that they're promoting there. They got on the swim beach, all the kids.
Little kids
and
swimming.
That's what's kind of cool because people will go up there and go, I know that kid. I know that person.
I went to Lemmer with that kid in 1961.
So it's been very, very popular.
Oh, I imagine.
It'll be over at Bay College. on Wednesday, beginning at 7 p.m. at the Herman Center, so in the big room that's there. It's the first of three winter outreach series that they have. The other ones are planned for March 13th and April 17th. It doesn't say what they are, but I'm assuming that includes the Lindquists, because
one of those Swedish names. Keep saying Swedish names. You will arrive at the correct one.
It is.
Lind?
It's Karen son. And Charles. They generally do the other ones.
Lindquist.
I know Lindquist, so that gets me confused all the time.
I'm 99% sure Lindquist. At the Historical Society, wonderful people, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to Wednesday. I'm hoping I get a chance to go over there and
Tigers fans too. Oh, Charles, he'll when I see him on the street with his doggy, you know, we can stop and talk Tigers for a good 20 minutes there. And
his dog just passed away.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Darn.
So our condolences to him, because truly. That's right. He gets out. It's hard when you change your routine.
Yeah. Mark really enjoyed working for them at the Historical Society. He was
an
archivist. Several summers. Yeah, he was a docent in the lighthouse, but they put him to work. You know, he has a background. I think he had a history minor and worked in the library at U of M. So they put him to work intaking and doing displays. He learned how to make the little boards you put on the wall that tell about things and how to intake and catalog. So he learned a lot through Karen, especially.
Well, that's two scouts then that have worked down there, because Bob Wills did too.
They love scouts.
Yeah.
Scouts and Quiz Bowl members. They were always, who do you have in Quiz Bowl? That'd be a good
history
member.
History people.
I think
Bob.
What's his sister's name?
Oh.
She worked there too.
Karen's the mom.
Yes.
I can see her.
I can see her as a freshman, so I want to call her like Little Wills, but like she's graduated in college, I'm sure. So we'll think of it later. Sorry, dude.
Okay. She worked there too?
Yep.
Okay. Well, Karen, of course, she writes about family and history in the paper.
She just had another article in the paper, and a really terrific person, works down at the library with my wife.
We've been playing some songs that, speaking of history and family, that is from your family, sort of, up in Ishpeming.
Yeah, my granddaughter's great-grandpa on the other side.
See, it just goes to show that we're all related in the UP somehow.
Everybody's related, of course. We're all God's children, and like including Ellen Wills. Ellen, including her.
Is that
She's
her name?
She's God's child. Yes, our research department just let me know that really quickly. She's out of college and is engaged.
That's right. I saw that.
Well, I thought she was. I remember her just the other day.
Just a little kid, right?
Yep. So anyway, getting back
to the way, that last song we just played was from 1974. I was getting on a 50s history.
A 50-year song with
history.
Karen Carpenter.
Like we did before.
We just talked about Karen Wills. Karen was the name of someone that Harry Belafonte actually knew. He knew someone named Karen.
That's awfully good.
I'm banking on that. We're making a transition here. I've learned at the feet of a master.
Because I don't remember the name of the song you put on the turntable here.
Well, I chose Marianne because that actually
was to Karen.
That was my mother's actual name.
Oh, really?
It was. So okay. That's how we choose things here. We go by musicology, the finest track on this record. We're like, pick that one, Craig. That was my mom's name. But
Phil goes, I've not heard this. I don't know if it's any good. And I said, anything that Harry Belafonte does is going to be good.
Hear, hear.
So that's it. Nothing else to say, except this is from his album called Sings the Blues.
Yes.
It's a little scratchy, by the way. It's kind of old and scratchy.
That's the fireplace.
We'll just put up with it. Harry Belafonte this morning on our turntable from right on top of Phil Lynch's vinyl vault.
Yeah, these were actually sitting on my piano, the music rack that faces you. And I thought, well, why not? I actually purchased some records for today. We'll do those on another date. But I had these from Al Sonny in Negaunee there. And it was his birthday actually yesterday. I didn't realize that until our research department rang in this morning. And that Harry Belafonte, what a voice. And that voice, we call that being very forward in the mix. You know, it's loud, I guess, would be the name, compared to the other instruments. There's a band back there, but you can just barely hear them.
The trumpet was way back,
and there's
way
there's
over
some horns.
There.
It's kind of like trying to do sort of
a
Ray Charles sound with some horns. But you've got a voice that good, you put that front and center. And this is on the RCA label. That used to bug Elvis, where they would put his voice so far forward in the mix. It would bug him. He would get the acetate, the first pressing to listen to, take home, and he'd say he'd want the voice moved back in the mix to be part of the band more. RCA, however, they knew why people were buying Elvis records. that was to hear one Elvis Presley, and they wanted so they put
the
voice.
He felt like he was a part of the group.
That's exactly right. He wow. wanted to be like a member of the band, kind of. And don't know how Harry Belafonte felt about that, but man, what a voice that guy has, and quite integral in the civil rights movement. People don't know that we had a freedom.
Yeah, you do.
We had a freedom rider here at Bay College a couple of weeks ago, and Harry Belafonte was on the front lines registering people to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Down in Mississippi in 64 and putting his career and life on the line.
I was just going to say he passed away recently, but I don't remember if it was recent or a while ago. But
I know. You turn around and it's been gone. Like 7 years.
Yeah.
Right.
Or 50.
Or 50. You know, and this record, this is, gosh, this is late 50s. So they were going on 70-ish years. So that's okay. Things are timeless. Hold up.
That's true. It's true. You ever have any music that you bought thinking that was the greatest music of all time, and then years later it becomes like, why did I buy that music?
Some of it. And so artists who last for a long time, you know, before they turn into classics, they'll be sort of out of date, about like, you know, 25 or 30 years. Like there's an Elton John one where he did disco, and like, oh my goodness, it's horrific. It's, you know, people laugh about that. Or Paul Simon did one that was kind of like very 90s electric guitar. Mm-hmm. Just like, no, it just doesn't sound like you, but you're trying to keep up with the times. You're trying to keep up with the times, and I understand. I, on the other hand, have never been up with the times. Never. Never been cool, so we don't have to worry about that. And
I don't know. You're doing songs like UPUFO.
Exactly. You made my point exactly.
And If I Were a Beaver?
So I'm on record with a member of our community saying that if he comes to my appearance, I'll say this to you. May 11th, I'm slated to play at the winery. If you come, I will do the Beaver song. Except I've been practicing as a slow ballad in a minor key.
Oh, no.
So you might get an updated, you might get 2.0.
Okay.
Or maybe both. You can do it slow once, then count off and then pick up the tempo.
You were at Bay College last week for your presentation on Louis Armstrong.
Rip.
Anything coming up
rip.
That we need to know about?
No. I have a light calendar this spring. I've been actually trying not to line things up because I'm starting my next and perhaps final recording project.
So, final? You're doing a retirement thing?
There's not a whole good reason to do a recording project. There just isn't. You know, you can keep releasing singles and it's great. You keep your face and voice before the public. But I have a collection of things that I want to do as a collection. They used to be called EPs back in the 50s. So a small album.
Mm-hmm.
I think six tunes.
You play with at least two bands that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Right.
Who are you aware of?
The jazz one, and then
Kind of Blues is I get to play keyboards, and there's my own band we played up in Houghton called the Red House Revelation.
Okay.
Yep.
Wasn't there another one too that you had without the Iron Mountain people?
I had been in Marty Rouge.
That's it.
Am not. I asked them if they might replace me. So
really?
Yeah. Stepped aside from that so they could get it.
So frankly, one band and then by yourself.
Frankly, well, Kind of Blues, Red House Revelation. I lead that band. They're my backing band.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
and nothing on the near horizon anyway, right? Okay. Well, we do have
I don't think Hugh
Poole that's going to be playing out at NEMA Saturday.
Who's that? They get good people.
He's from Brooklyn, New York.
Oh.
So, in my understanding, he plays in a blues band.
Yeah.
But he's touring the UP.
Okay.
And Lower Northern Peninsula. So he'll be in Marquette, NEMA. I guess those are the only two in the UP.
Okay.
It goes back down to Kalamazoo.
And is solo act, or does he have a band?
This is a solo act.
He's playing the
for
blues?
For this one, because, you know, NEMA is kind of small there, and you got to fit people into it. Otherwise, he's at the Ore Dock on Friday as well, so
Okay. Check
those out.
Got and
some music coming up.
NEMA is Saturday, you said?
Saturday at 7 p.m.
Didn't have my listening ears on. Great. Yeah. Good to know. That's a great place.
Check that out. And we'll be talking, I'm sure, about other music around the area. I know that Bill Lark is playing with the house band on Wednesday at the House of Ludington, and that should be a lot of fun as well.
Yep.
We're going to take another break for news here at the bottom of the hour as we're hanging out this morning with Phil Lynch. Count Basie on WDBC on our turntable this morning. What time is it?
1 o'clock.
Yeah, we must be jumping. Because that's 1 o'clock jump.
Exactly how that song got titled. The radio announcer said on air to Count Basie, Bill Basie from New Jersey, said, "Well, Count, what's that new number called?" Looked at the clock, and he said, "That's the 1 o'clock jump." That was a head arrangement. The guys, you know, they thought that up. They weren't reading charts or anything. They'd worked on that over the weeks and months. They'd play it backstage, and
they pulled it together, and
you could
call
it
1 o'clock jump.
Trained professionals, ladies and gentlemen.
Phil has been playing some songs on our turntable here this morning, kind of a just a grouping of different things. So
miscellaneous.
Appreciate day. That.
Yeah.
So let me see what we got going now. Oh,
more curling news? Sure.
No.
Okay.
I have been posting again on a podcast site that people have been asking for some of my interviews, especially with the Delta County election. They've been asking for those interviews, and I've
been
posting
them. Did he really say that? Are you kidding me?
So I've been posting them in a place where the people could access them, and then I went, this is crazy. I'm going to see if I got enough time to be able to put them back up on my podcast site. So I started doing that. I've got a couple of weeks up there right now. You can go to hometownescanaba.com.
That's such a good name.
And
nicely
listen
done, sir.
To all of the interviews that we put up. Plus, I spent some time over the weekend editing some of the shows from last week, including yours from last week.
Okay.
So you can go on there. And so under podcasts, you'll see interviews and then radio shows. So if you go there, you'll be able to listen to an edited version of the show. So we kind of take the music out and some of the other things as well.
It's funny.
Just to hear us talk.
On your site on the Monday, there's this like big skull and crossbones. Do not listen. You know, what's a yellow caution tape? I don't know how to take that. But yeah, so that'll be, we did Louis Armstrong last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to take the music out because of copyright.
But we talk about the music.
Sure.
We don't hear it, but we get to talk about
folks,
it.
Folks, just call me. We still have a landline. I'm in the book. And you call me, and I'll play those records for you on the phone when you get to that point in the podcast. So I'll just put them on the
channel. Or you can look them up yourself. So you there
can.
You go. No, it should be fun. I think that...
HometownEscanaba.com.
Yeah.
That's a good domain name.
If you want to see it on the podcast, then you can go... I use Podbean, so it's HometownEscanaba.podbean.com.
Okay. Yes.
So you can see the site there. Or you can go like to Apple and
get
it that way as well. So that's how I get it on my phone.
I'm on Apple Podcast.
So there's Patty's got it on her podcast off of the iPhone. So you can get it that way as well.
I'll follow you.
Okay.
Yeah, hit follow. And if you get a lot of followers soon, it'll boost your rank if you can get them in a hurry. So everybody go to, especially if you're on
Well, this is a limited podcast. Audience. Those that are only interested in what's going on around us.
My Louis book, that was a top 20 book in its category on Amazon when it came out.
Yeah, but that's a national theme.
Okay, but you know, who knew about that? You know, friends and family. You can pick your category on Amazon. You pick the smallest. I read this in Best Practice. So it was music biographies, jazz biographies, formerly living jazz biographies. And if you write a book and you get a bunch of people, because everybody bought it about the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was gaming the algorithm before I even knew algorithm was a word. I thought that was like a reptile down in Florida, algorithms. And so game it for Craig. Go to your favorite podcast streaming site. I do like the Apple one, but Podbean is where it's hosted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's been a couple of years since I've actually done anything. So you'll see the old ones there as well. But I'll try to keep up on
That's the on thing you got to keep up on. I know. You're an influencer now. You're a content provider. And, you know, some of these content providers make tens of thousands or more
per
month.
Well, I'm not going to be able to do that. But I do get people that go like, I want to hear that interview. For instance, I just got an email last night from Vicky LaFave going, hey, some of the parents want to hear the kids from Holy Name when they were on with you. Well, I haven't put that one up yet, but I will put it up today so that they can hear it. And it'll
Don't people have
boomboxes
where they can put a cassette in, you press play and record? I mean, we did this in the 80s. It worked fine. I still have some of those things. You'd always miss the first few seconds. You'd run across the room, hit play and record.
So I've been on TV6 quite a bit lately.
Yeah.
You know what my mom does?
Does she have a VCR?
No, she uses her iPhone and videotapes the TV, just like you used to do in the old days when you had a movie camera.
That was like pirated movies.
And then you would take a picture of the TV. Then you went to VHS, so you were able to actually record off of the program. And now you're back to pointing the camera at the TV and taking a picture.
I took a movie of the stereo when I was getting played by Dick Storm on the west end of the UP. A great, he's the dean of country music.
I know Dick very well. Yeah,
and he did Operation Christmas, as he is very kind to do every year. I'm like, I don't know, I'm going to play it on, I mean, because it's streaming all over the world, so I took a movie of my stereo.
Well, that's it. We don't stream here. The powers that be, yeah, meaning the owner of the station, has opted not to stream.
That was clearing my throat on purpose. The station here. You generally don't do that on air.
Which I've gotten into trouble saying in the past, because I'm not supposed to say that. But it's true. And so this is a way for people to be able to listen to some of the show and kind of hear it. Because you don't, but Kevin Chown, my sister, Bruce Belongi, and now Mike Kunal is starting to Facebook Live the show.
Oh, no peer pressure. Everybody's doing it, Phil. Everybody's doing it. You're not. What's wrong with you? I hate technology, people. That's why. It's just
I have no issues with you not doing it. So
and then
don't
we can't be
that.
Snarky off air. I mean, that's, you don't have. If
that's right.
Facebook,
you got to be very careful
all the time. And yeah. So this way we can still.
But we're never snarky off air.
One time per week, just once. Just once.
Snarky. That's a great, great word. That way you get to hear a little bit of what we're talking about.
Escanaba.com or right. hometownescanaba.podbean.com.
Mm-hmm. Or just on
or your whatever
Apple
podcast service.
You can search for that as well. You can hear the interviews. You can hear the show. See what we can do on that.
Is Bubba on there?
I didn't put his birthday show up, but I will.
Happy birthday.
Yeah,
dear Bubba.
When Kevin's dog had his 12th birthday. Well, that was the week before, but I do have last week's show up.
So. Y'all might be from a small town if they're putting Bubba the dog's birthday on the radio. So, yeah.
Oh, he had a great time.
I'm sure he
got extra bacon and eggs that morning.
I saw that. Birthday meal, great.
You never know what might happen on the show.
Yep.
Phil, thank you so much.
Sure thing.
For joining us here this morning. Really appreciate it. Oh, darn. We didn't. Patty just went, you didn't do the weather. You know what that means, right?
It's frosty this morning, and it's getting warm. Sunny and warm. Next couple days, sunny and warm.
It's going to be sunny, but we're going to check out the weather forecast. All right, I haven't been checking my phone, but Wendy Pepin chimed in and said that Hugh Poole is half of the duo called Mule Bone.
Oh, they've been around. I have not heard
which
them.
Which is played
but
at NEMA numerous times.
Yes, people speak very highly of them, so good. Yeah.
And Joe Halberg was talking about the plunger work on the trumpet player.
Yeah.
In that song, he goes, another good one. So,
oh, good.
He would know because he knows everything about trumpets,
yeah.
Right? He's the one that goes, I don't know. He didn't.
Boy, I don't know.
Right.
Who would have that have been? If it was Ellington, I could name every member of the Ellington band. The trombonist was Dickie Wells.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll look that up for you, Joe. We'll get that to you.
It is going to be sunny today with a high near 34, mostly clear tonight, a low around 19, and then tomorrow mostly sunny, high of 38. It's going to be mostly cloudy Tuesday night with a low around 26, but a high of 41 on Wednesday, then 43 on Thursday, but back down to 27, a high of 27 on Friday. But don't worry, by Sunday it's going to be back up to 41. So I don't know what's going to happen to the snow here. We'll find out.
Our crocuses are up, and they're ready to bloom. They're not just up.
I mean, are you serious?
They're ready to bloom because they're
really?
By the foundation, and they hit southern exposure,
okay.
And they're always the earliest
ones.
That's
why you're out walking barefoot in the snow.
Yeah.
Menominee's at 19 this morning, Marquette 17, Iron Mountain 11, and in Escanaba, we dropped down to 14 degrees. Yeah, I saw the picture of you being banished out of the house carrying a jug of milk and...
Spoiled milk.
Standing
and,
in bare feet.
Moldy bread, yeah.
Yeah,
great.
You're a tough guy.
I do. I walk out to the garage in the wintertime in bare feet because Western culture gives us so few opportunities to be brave and do acts of courage. I mean, really, you know, unless I enlist and go to Iraq and someone tells me they're not going to be near Afghanistan. So, like, yeah, and this was a nothing yesterday, but, you know, when it's snowy, sometimes we have these metal treads on our porch, so sometimes your feet will get wet and cold, and they freeze to the metal treads.
Ew.
Like Ralphie and the flagpole. And,
yeah, tears the skin off.
You slowly peel it up. Hopefully you don't go too fast. Sometimes, you know, Jane, come on. She'll come out with a cup of hot water and pour them on the stair treads.
That's not happened.
And no, I'm making that up.
Yeah.
But
as long as you're not licking the deck, you're fine.
No, but you do freeze to the stair treads every now and then. That's a serious day. Sometimes I'll go all the way out and get the mail. Our house is back on the alley. You've been there.
Yeah,
so we've got
away.
A long walk, about a 50-yard walk. And, you know, if it's like 2 or 4 inches of snow and you can't run back, that's you have to just walk calmly doing your breathing exercises with your feet?
We'll call you a tough guy from now on. Right. Tough feet.
Yeah.
Phil Lynch this morning with us on WBBC.
Dumb.
Or just dumb. That could be true.
It's a feat of manhood. Come on.
Feat of manhood. There. Got that. F-E-A-T. Got it.
Oh, nicely done. I wasn't even thinking of that. Again, a trained professional on air here at WDBC Radio.
Huey Lewis and the news on WDBC. Yep, I'm happy to be stuck with Jim Hansen in the morning.
Lucky you. Lucky
I know.
You.
That's for sure. Now, you know that today is President's Day, so you're my president.
A president?
Yeah.
President of what?
Of the United States.
No.
If you're the president, what are you the president of? The ship. Is that a captain, right?
Okay, captain.
There you go.
Captain of the ship, yes. That's very
so
good.
Don't expect to mail any mail today. Don't expect... Do banks close anymore for this day?
I don't
even
no
know.
Clue.
I suppose if we walk up to the bank and find it's closed, then you know it's President's Day.
It's President's Day.
Don't expect to go and pay a bill at City Hall unless you're going to dump it into the drawer.
No.
And technically,
no,
I even get the day off today.
Really?
At my other job.
Oh, your other job.
Yeah. Supposedly, I'm not supposed to...
I bet you're going
to
be there,
work.
Though,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah. I'll probably show up for a little bit or at least do some work from home.
There you go.
Because I got some stuff I have to do. So, yep, it's President's Day today.
Well, it was a wonderful day to wake up.
Both George and Abe had their birthdays this month.
Absolutely. I wish George and Abe were back in the presidency in some form or fashion.
It was a beautiful day to wake up.
Wonderful day. I mean, it was like we've emerged from the doldrums of winter.
Mm.
You know, normally I get up in the morning, I'm heading this way, and it's dark, and I go to McDonald's and I can't even see the cup of coffee I'm getting because it's so dull and overcast. And this morning the sun is shining. It's like, wow, wonderful.
I know. That sun yesterday afternoon almost hurt. It was so bright.
Well, we didn't have...
Got to get used to
that. I didn't have sun down in Lansing yesterday.
You were so coming home, huh?
We were coming home from Lansing. Little road trip. Quick road trip. 6 hours from Lansing to Escanaba, plus a little stop at Central Michigan for...
Well, you had
lunch.
Quite a milestone for your granddaughter. So
we did. Our granddaughter,
why don't you give her credit here?
Who's working on a vet tech degree, which we're very, very proud of. They have, it's the first time I've ever heard of this, but she called about a week ago and she said, Grandma, I'd like you to coat me. What does coat mean? And apparently, I haven't been aware of it, but those people who are in the vet tech program and the PhD veterinarian program all get coated. And so yesterday we were at the Wharton Center, and our granddaughter had to go on stage with Alice, and Alice was, they were introduced, and she put on their clinical coat. So now they are done with a lot of the classroom stuff, and now they actually become clinicians, and they start working on real animals, according to the guy in charge. But it was a pretty interesting ceremony. I mean, the Wharton Center was packed. There had to be well over 1,000 people in attendance, plus the, I think between the clinical folks and the vet people, there had to be almost 150 to 200, about 200 people that were getting coded.
Well, Alice is a nurse herself.
Yes.
So she must have been familiar with the ceremony a little bit, right?
She was. And she was very blown away by the experience. I mean, first of all, the fact that her granddaughter, when she talked to her, said, well, you know, what about your dad or your mother or your other grandmother? And she said, I choose you, Grandma, which, I mean,
is that's great.
Quite an honor to say the least,
mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Well, congratulations to her.
Yeah, it was a great weekend. We, you know, it's one of those deals where, I hate to say this, but... Well, I don't hate to say it. You leave Escanaba, you stop and have breakfast. Well, that costs a little bit. You fill up the tank, gas, that costs more. Stay at a hotel, that costs more. You take a whole group of people out to eat, that costs more.
Oh, you did. I missed that.
Oh,
bummer.
Yeah, you did miss it. Sorry. You know, and then of course you have to stop and fill up with gas and go again. And by the time you're done, you don't even want to look at what it cost. The experience was spectacular. You know, so it's all worth it, to say the least.
Well, you can celebrate this week by giving blood on Thursday.
You sure can. We're going to have a one-day blood drive. It'll be at the Wellspring Church, and it's from 11 until 5 o'clock. And if you so desire and you're eligible, because if you gave blood several weeks ago, you're not going to be eligible. But you can go to redcross.org, put in 49829, our zip code, and go ahead and sign up and come in, and we'll be more than happy to help you register and give blood. So,
Jim Hansen is joining us here this morning, so make sure that you sign up or show up for blood drive on Thursday. From what time to what time?
From 11 until 5, and we have been accommodating our, as best we can, walk-ins. Thus far, we haven't had a walk-in. We've had to turn away, so that's a good thing.